With 5 weeks to go until Election Day, political messages are everywhere. We see them on bumper stickers, lawn signs, and TV ads. And our kids see them too. But do they understand any of it? Should they understand any of it? Edward Keenan is a reporter and radio host in Toronto. His new book is called The Art of the Possible, an everyday guide to politics, a book specifically for kids and young adults to help them understand the crazy and complicated world of democracies and politics. And he joins us on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Why did you want to write this book?
Well, a couple reasons. One is that the publisher, Owl Kids Books, who publish books for children, thought that there was a need for a book like this to supplement the information that kids are being taught in schools. I think both in schools and in textbooks and other resources, kids have a lot of access, if they're at all interested, in sort of how a bill becomes a law, what the parts of the legislature are, how the governor general is appointed on the advice of the prime minister, and so on. But not a lot of the sort of the more base level information about, like, what is politics? Why do we need a political system to help us make decisions together? How does that work? Like, what's important? What are the important things for you to know when you're involved in that? And so I have three children. The eldest is now 9, and you know, they ask me questions about my job. So, in addition to sort of the editor, John Crossingham, talking to me about how he felt there was a need for this book, I could look at my own family and see this is information that I'd like my own kids to have, stuff that I learned I didn't really learn too much in school, but that I've learned in observing and writing about politics over the last decade.
And why do you think it's important for kids to get a better handle on all of this?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. I think that it's actually important for all of us to get a better handle on a lot of this stuff. A lot of the things that I think kids need to learn are things that I feel like I'm constantly writing about so that adults can better learn them, or that I am sort of reminding myself, discovering new things about it. Also, I think this is a good age for kids to start understanding some of these concepts. With 10 to 14 is sort of the age range that I wrote the book for. And I think beyond that age, when you get into high school, almost everybody goes through a period where they're a bit alienated with the world, not just with sort of government or whatever, but with their parents, with authority figures in general. And there's a period of cynicism that many, many teenagers go through where it's just like they want nothing to do with these systems, right? And then when we come out of that, I feel like people my age in their 40s and then people in their 30s and 20s today haven't really lost that cynicism. And I feel like it's important to understand why this political system exists, why it works best if people are paying attention and being involved. And so that when you sort of come out of your period of alienation, you realize, like, well, if this system is broken or if it's not working the way I want it to work, I can fix it.
And how then do you grab their attention? How do you convince them that this thing that adults talk about that usually seems pretty boring is actually kind of neat?
Well, in writing the book, I tried to use both language and examples that could really show them how these things affect their lives and how they're involved in it. And it's true. When we talk about politics, and in much of the book, I'm talking about society-wide politics that involves government and things like that. But politics exists even in families, and children are actors in that politics. The other day, my wife and I were in the car with my three children and trying to talk about what restaurant we should go to for dinner. And the kids start screaming from the back seat. One wanted to go to McDonald's. One wanted to go to another fast food place. Of course, mom and dad want to go to healthy places. Now, in theory, and in the eyes of our kids, our family is kind of a two-headed dictatorship where mom and dad make all the decisions. But at the same time, the kids' opinions are important. How they express those opinions are important. We understand that if we choose something they don't like, they're going to refuse to eat, or they're going to scream and shout in the restaurant. It's going to make our life miserable. So we try to, you know, make a decision together that we can all live with, that meets all of our priorities. And I think there are a lot of things like that in kids' lives, whether it's in their families, whether it's in the schoolyard, negotiating with other kids what games to play or how to do, or in dealing with their teachers, but also in their relationships with the government that they might not be able to see. They play in a public park that is paid for by the government. They use the library. Most kids attend a school that's run by the government. And so, I mean, even at that age, when they're too young to vote, they're already involved in these things. And if they have things that they think could make them better, whether they realize it or not, they have the power to try to get those changes made, to talk to other people and be part of that decision-making process.
You even bring in ideas like liberalism, progressivism, conservatism, and the like. And I mean, these are things that maybe adults even have, you know, struggle with. Why is it something you think that kids can really chew on and understand?
Well, there are elements of that where I sort of try to talk about the things, the terminology you encounter when you're in the news. And that terminology can be, first of all, it's used by a weapon by some people or an identifier, but it can also be alienating if you're unfamiliar with it. And one thing about kids that I've found with my own children and other children, I coach baseball and hockey teams, so the kids can understand lots of stuff. They just don't have a base of knowledge. So if you start explaining it to them, and if they're going to encounter these terms, like if somebody's talking about a libertarian ideology, well, it helps to just have a thumbnail version of what that generally means. I don't spend much of the book outlining all of that stuff in detail. It's not a book about those kinds of ideologies or explaining the major political parties in Canada, but I try to touch on those concepts because they're the things that you encounter when you start looking at the political system. And I think you're right that a lot of adults already don't understand those things and could understand them better, and maybe they'll be helped reading this book with their children. But I think also that for a 10 or an 11-year-old, it's just that when you encounter this kind of terminology, you don't need to be intimidated by it. There's a fairly simple explanation of what it means. And this is an introduction.
We have probably 30 seconds left, but I'm curious to hear your answer on what we gain if we get our kids interested and engaged in politics at that age.
Well, I hope what we get is a better world, because I think the book starts, and, you know, a bit of a spoiler, but I start by trying to explain to kids, like, you're a politician, whether you know it or not, whether you want to be or not. And what I mean by that, I hope it becomes clear to them at the end of the book, is that they're involved in the system and that the system works best for them, but works best for all of us if citizens are active and engaged, if the people who are part of the system sort of pay a little bit of attention to it, discuss the things that are important to them, and participate in the system, and that goes well beyond voting, then I think the system will work better for them and for all of us.
Okay. Edward Keenan, thank you very much for this.
Thanks for having me, Rebecca.